Miscellaneous staff report. Start with Tim.
We have executed a number of contracts since the last board meeting. The Adam Street contract is signed, the Ocean Avenue contract is signed, and the Cortex contract is signed. Cortex will be reaching out over the next week or so to schedule interviews with the board members to go over roles and responsibilities before developing a workshop for the board on the consultant. The other notable investment group is some of you already know. We have hired a new analyst. It's Jeff Youngman, formerly with Milliman and BlackRock. He's going to be joining us on June 2nd.
So we got Jeff after all.
Yes, we do.
That's huge.
Congratulations.
Good. That's it for investments.
The Cortex, that can be a phone call or meeting in person?
It'll be phone calls. He will email to set it up. He's going to start with staff and then move on to the board.
Okay.
Hopefully next week.
This thing on Jeff, did it just come out? Because I had not heard anything about it.
I'm just announcing it to the board now.
Wow.
I think that's good. Approved the position previously.
We approved the position last year in the budget.
Yeah. No one must be feeling like a farm
system. It takes us a while to get everything in
right.
Process.
Okay. All done? Vicki?
We're just wrapping up the CAFR. I'm hoping to have a draft for management. And it'll be due to our auditors at the end of the week. Once we're done with the CAFR, we'll start up with the GASBs and start meeting with our plan sponsors.
It's going to be on servers.
We're working on our plan for an upgrade to our accounting system that's going to happen in the fall. So we'll start.
You don't have to put each of those little numbers.
I still do. But there'll be some nice announcements.
Right.
Never
adult. Karen?
Well, after a year and a half of litigation, we did finally get a ruling from the Superior Court judge in the AB 197 lawsuit. The ruling came down on May 12th. We have an update on our website to our membership about what it means, essentially termination. Payouts are going to be excluded from the calculations once the stay expires. The stay expires on July 12th. So any retirements from now until July 11th under the stay must include termination pay, and any retirements after the stay must exclude it. With regards to on-call, the judge decided that on-call pay should be included to the extent that on-call was required of everybody in the same job classification. And so again, the stay still applies. All on-call pay is currently included. Once the stay expires, July 12th onwards, on-call pay is only included to the extent that it is for work required of everybody in the same job classification. We've had not that many retirements since the ruling came down. We expected a very large number of retirements, and we haven't had that.
Everybody's waiting for the appeal. Apparently, I heard that, Local 21 is going to file with the appellate court to get a stay by June 15th or something, and I think that's what people are waiting for.
I know from my employment that everybody's waiting to see if there's a stay. If there's a stay, they may work longer. If the stay doesn't go, they get flooded.
That probably explains our low numbers.
Yeah.
So am I correctly understanding that there will be an appeal, and that will be filed before the end of July 12th?
The stay will be.
Appeal
and the stay. That's a big
this, thing. So a request will be made to the appellate court to put a stay in place while they're getting ready to file their appeal and during the on. So that will happen before July 12th.
I heard June 15th.
Okay. Because
is for the Local 21. Now that's Just their union, I heard. I didn't hear anything about any others.
Yeah, I haven't heard.
Harvey, did you have anything to add?
About 2 hours ago, Local 1, IFPTE Local 21, and the PDOC organization filed their notice of appeal in our case. So we'll see what happens with a request for stay. So far, the DSA in Contra Costa County has not filed an appeal. The DSA in Alameda County did file an appeal at the end of last week.
And nothing, then the state didn't file an appeal.
No, the state hasn't filed anything yet.
No stays issued. They're filing the appeal with the request for stay.
Harvey, any outside professional
report?
That was it.
That was it. Thank you.
Have you heard anything more on our friends from AFSCME? After our last board meeting, I made a number of calls both to the county lobbyist and to Senator DeSaunier's office. I'm hearing conflicting information on whether there is a hold. I'm also hearing now that the bill has until, I think, the last week of June, that Wednesday, to get out. I know that we had thought it was earlier than that, so it's now later than that. So I didn't know if you had heard anything in addition to that.
No, I've heard nothing different than conflicting reports that you're hearing.
It seemed to be, I sat through the ledge session at Sackers, and I didn't go up specifically asking, but one of the speakers from the lobbying firm noticed my name tag and said, I don't have any update on your legislation. He says, I was hoping to have it before I came over.
Was this Kathy Christian? Was it
no, it was a guy.
These are the Sackers lobbyists.
Oh, these are the
Sackers. I'm sorry.
And he said, I did call around. He says, I was hoping to get an answer so I could give the group an update because there was an interest on the part of other members of the audience, too. And he said, this was his speculation. He says, as near as I can tell, it's just because they're having trouble dealing with stuff scheduling the stuff that's come out of the Senate. Or the Assembly.
Not being held up by one side or the other.
He didn't know for sure, but he said he did not think that it was being held up, that it was being held up procedurally, and that was it. But he didn't sound like he had a definitive answer. Okay. But there was a lot of interest on the part of a number of people there in that legislation, especially Alameda. There was
San Diego is really interested, too.
And he's not even a board member. The guy that was asking all the questions apparently is not a trustee.
Oh, that's a union guy. I know who you're talking about. Yeah. So. I'll talk to you
about him later. So they may follow our county's lead.
It sounded like he was interested positively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know that.
Yeah, San Diego would like to do. My impression of talking to trustees from San Diego is they'd like to do what we're doing and want to follow. So they're following it close.
Once again, Contra Costa ended up being the topic of considerable discussion in that meeting because it was a relatively slow legislative year. So they spent a lot of time talking about that. And actually, the guy did a very good rundown on what the provision was going to be.
Jerry, while you're on the topic, anything further on Sackers? Sure.
I found it relatively straightforward. I mean, I've actually been to stronger Sacker meetings than that particular one in terms of outside speakers and whatnot. And that was just my impression. But, you know, they covered all the bases, but there were no speakers that really stood out, at least not that I thought.
Will?
Yes. So since being in this position, as of more recently, you know, every member of ours is concerned about the pending lawsuit and everything that's going on. So I've gotten a couple indications. I get calls like all the elected probably do from membership. But more recently, I've gotten two independent notifications that they've called the retirement office and said the retirement office has essentially responded saying, we're too busy, we can't answer your request, please mail it in. And so these two people were not pending retirements, not immediately, but you know, they're concerned about their account and they have questions. And it just brings concern to me that in terms of customer service for our members, are we addressing that? I'd like to agendize that post the CEO's arrival so that the CEO can also participate in that. We look at what the process is and are we meeting customer service to our members? Are the questions being answered in those things? Scott, your question.
Was it regarding the 197 litigation, or just these were just general membership
questions? These were just general membership questions regarding their account. They just had, you know, little questions, and they wanted things clarified, and it wasn't resulting in the AB 197 specifically. So it was just general membership. So that brings concern. If there's two incidents that were reported to me on the fire side, that just I just want to address that. I think that's important. Secondly, I went to Wharton last week, which was awesome. Makes me want to go to school. It looks like I chose the wrong school to go to for undergrad. Amazing school. Excellent professors. Learned a tremendous amount. I still need to review that to kind of reiterate it and make it sink in. But I hope to take some of those tools. There's some very simple calculation and tools that, you know, and I'm sure the people that have gone to Wharton are aware of those things, of, you know, simple calculations that you can use when you're looking at fund managers to evaluate things when they're doing their presentations. lastly, since I was at Wharton, I was absent from last week's meeting in item number 10, which is the investigate and do research on possible unusual spiking and looking at members that have done that. I just wanted to speak publicly against that. I don't agree with that. I think the language was too far, too broad, and too reaching. I'm also concerned about labor hour costs and also potential litigation from that item. And on top of that, since that item was released, I've gotten a flood of questions concerning that. And the membership is very, very concerned about that language.
Especially because it was in the newspaper, too.
It was in the newspaper, and I think that the common newspaper article that we all look to actually even mentioned the possible question of the legal effects, the power that that can have. So, anyways, I wanted to voice that publicly also. And that's it.
I too got a...
I'm sorry, just for a second on Will's comment. Is the staff aware of any backlog in routine requests, routine counseling requests?
Well,
or is this something...
We sent out benefit statements recently.
Yeah.
And our policy on benefit statements questions, we need them in writing, right?
Yeah, so we send out almost 8,000 benefit statements. So if somebody calls in with a question regarding their benefit statement, since you get one, you know, there's a form where they need to fill it out and send it in, because our counselors can't take all those calls. So our calls are off the charts right now.
Right.
So we just need to get that so that we can organize them and respond in writing to them.
Right.
And so that's what's going on right now, and it happens every year.
Yeah.
So I see no reason not to address this, but there is a certain seasonality, it sounds like, to this kind of and it wasn't somebody being put off, or at least that's not the sense I get, that they're being put off.
Well, it appears to them as they're being put off.
Right, yeah.
So, that's important. And I think that it's good to evaluate our customer service nonetheless. Either if this is a seasonality thing, maybe there's something we can include in the benefit statement that educates people on those identified issues that always come up for those members.
Because no matter what the firm is, it's tough to staff for seasonality. You know, it's like having enough lanes on a bridge just for the commute hours.
We could just outsource to
India.
Language
on the benefit statement indicating that. You can't answer all your questions by calling writing, and that way we keep track of them and make sure we answer them.
Right. Yeah, makes
and
sense.
Most of their questions are particular to their member accounts, so we just giving them general information is not helping them understand why their years of service is different than what they think it should be.
Right. Yeah. And so one, to detail it, one was a benefit statement issue, and that was the response from the front staff, was the initial answer was basically write it down, and that's on the benefit statement. So not so much. But another person who is, you know, I'd say 75% mature in their career with the county, wanted to meet with their counselor and left a message, and it was never returned. So, you know, with just all the things going on, people have questions and they're concerned about their plan, their life, and their benefits. So I wanted to bring that up.
Sure.
So,
sorry, Karen, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, that's a good information. I'm assuming, Will, that the calls you're getting are from retirees.
No.
I'm not on the benefits thing. On the Bornstein column.
No.
Really? Okay. Well,
I'm getting, and I got approached by several retirees.
I did too.
Regarding explaining what 10 meant more in depth. It was too general about going back several years and phrases as a first step. they're trying to figure out more of a clarification what this means. And I mean,
well, maybe we need to do some, because what I told the people that asked me was basically, are you making more the day you walked out than you made the day before? If you're not, you don't have anything to worry about. But there's a filter in place, as we, and I know you weren't here, but we went through this. There's a filter. It's already in place. It's not taking that much additional staff time. And that that most retirees, and once you explain, or what I have explained through to them, that this is going after those outliers, bad players, whatever we want to call them, they all get it. They know, and I've tried to do my best to assure people, we are not coming after your retirement. We are looking at cases that meet our criteria for this filtering that are in excess of what they should have had because of policies that were put in place. And I'm hoping, and that seemed to alleviate the concerns. I'm sure there will, but perhaps we do need to ask staff to go back and put some general statement in place on the website that, based on the board's action on whatever date it was, these are the filtering questions so that they know, and that this will be a review, it will be public, there will be time, because I think we put in there an appeal process and all that. That it's just sort of a, I'm finding it, it's a relax, you know, we're not coming after those of you who have retired in the manner that you should have, even if in that last year, because you had brought this up, Louie, and I remembered it, you took it, advantage is the right word, but you took the opportunity that was presented to you to do things in that last year that were appropriate, that, and I keep saying to folks, this is for those who did things, such as the fire chief in one of our sister fire agencies who got the board to do X, Y, and Z. And once they hear that, as Jerry Tellis has mentioned in the past, you know, they realize it's not 95%, if even that, whatever, of people. So
yeah, I explained them, but they still, you got a lot of anxious retirees out there.
Right.
And I explained, like you said, well, this ain't for the normal person that maximized their benefit because they could. These are the people that spike, and they agree with that.
And that's right. Once you, and they're happy about
it. Oh, yeah, they agree with that 100%, but they're saying it's so broad that these people are getting all worried that, they're going to go after, it's a witch hunt.
Yeah,
and that's what we're trying not to do, and that's what I told them.
And so that's why I'm surprised that you're hearing from active members, mm-hmm. because this doesn't affect them at all.
It does if they're retiring soon. And I've also had a handful of retirees.
Well, true, but if they're retiring soon, you know, you're right, it could. And so they need the answers to that question. But with firefighters can't spike to the extent they can't buy back vacation and stuff. So they have overtime in there and all that other stuff. You know, it's the normal, like...
Yeah, and their concern is, like Louis said, is, you know, the define of unusual, and what is that unusual?
Well, we have the filter, so let's explain that.
That's not defined in the language.
No, but we need to say that.
That's their concern, is what, you know, what is considered spiky. That's what their concern is.
Can staff
do we need to put it on the agenda to clarify what we talked about on that? I mean, do you think?
What's the filter?
I think we need to take this up again.
I think the website idea is a good idea.
I think the process now is for staff to gather data and bring it back to the board.
Right. Yeah, but you have filters in place, is what we were told last time.
The filter is just numerical.
There's what?
It's just numerical. It's just data. It's just, the board hasn't given us any definitions or any refinements to what it is that you really would like to look at. This step is only for us to gather data and bring it back to the board.
Right, but you brought us two cases last meeting. How did those get to us? Somehow...
That's a new process.
No, I know it is.
So now we're applying that process past retirement.
Just put that on the board website right now.
A lot of people are concerned with number 10. It was so broad that the people that retired already say, well, hold the time out. You know, I left, I maximized my benefit, I left within the policy, that was passed by this board, and all of a sudden now you're telling me you're going to review my thing and I might lose benefits. That's the big thing I'm getting from people.
Same.
Well, and you're right, Karen. We haven't defined that, and that's not coming back to us for about another 90 days, as I recall.
We'll come back to you once our staff is done gathering the data. But if you'd like to reverse it and talk about definitions first, that can be done also.
When do we think we'll have the data coming to us?
Kirk, can you answer?
Oh, well, that's soon enough then. I guess it's our job then to just try and calm the waters.
Well, and like I said, I got people that say that they want, you know, they're looking for clarification for the simple reason is it's so broad that what do they mean going back several years? Are they going to go back 3 years, going back 10 years, and 20 years? What are they saying?
Well,
my sense was that this policy was just that, a policy. It was established to be as broad as possible
exactly.
At that point. Because we're not going to, in my opinion, we're not going to be able to sit there and say, here is what we're going to look at. We're going to look for these things and these things and these things and these things. It's kind of like, who was it? Justice Potter Stewart? Not exactly.
Do it when he saw it.
No, he's going to know it when he sees it. You know, I don't know it initially, mm-hmm. but when we get that first filter done and when we start seeing these things come in, we're going to get an opportunity to say, that's one and that's one mm-hmm. and that's one. I don't think you have the opportunity to do that in advance.
You purposely made this a broad policy for that purpose, to start to discover what was
right,
out
so
there.
Right, so that we could then set up.
And frankly, the feedback I got from people that I know, and even one of them is a county employee, was positive about this process of, well, finally, you're going to start doing something about the most egregious of the spikers.
Yeah, and I think that's, for me, that's the key point.
Right, and their answer is, well, how far does it go? I mean, I'll read you the 3 points this person, one person emailed me. The following three phrases in the statement, what are to be considered unusual increases? Two was meaning significant of the phrase as a first step. Well, what's the first step, and then where does it go after that first step? And what is the meaning of the term past several years? And that was their thing. It's very broad, and it's like, what are you looking for? And then, like Karen did, is we're talking about the people that were flagrant and spiking their retirements. Mm-hmm. Well, they're looking at that, well, hold it. Where are you saying what's flagrant and what's not?
Well,
and when I retired within that policy that was put in by the retirement board, I was within this policy. Now you're saying, well, no, I'm not in this policy. Now I'm here.
They're going to have to wait. I mean, I know you know that. We're uh-huh. just going to have to wait to see what it shows out as. I think most people are going to be fine, and it's not going to impact them.
Right.
And
I think they're just looking for clarification.
And that's
something that clarifies. So we're talking about this.
But
and
we
this.
Haven't had a chance, as Karen
right.
says, to do
right.
that yet. So early July, you know, that's soon enough.
They want some assurance somehow that this doesn't mean me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody at this table that's in a position to say that.
Right.
Very unlikely that it's going to mean them.
Right. But you have to think about these people who retire who knows how many years, and it's the weighs on them that hold it. You know, I have a lifestyle here that when I retired, I have this lifestyle. Now, all of a sudden, so you're taking away my lifestyle, which I can't afford no more.
Yeah.
So.
Obviously, a very great concern. I think we all agree that majority of people, it's not going to impact.
Right. Them. Oh, sure. No. Uh-huh.
I hope not. The vast majority.
Okay. Any other trustees?
Yes.
I've got one. Yeah. Concerning that article that came out, I was giving an example of Daniel Bourne.
Yeah, Bornstein, and his article was interesting.
I've never heard of it.
But one of them was the John Cullen one, which you're probably familiar
Cullen.
With.
The who?
He was
Cullen.
Are there going to be any contracts out there that are hitting us down the road that we either should know about or anticipate, you know, things were converted? Like, if you gave a year's notice, you got a 2% bump in your salary. So just being proactive, is there anything we should anticipate? Is there any
Not
in particular, I'm just saying in general.
No, well, I can assure you the county will never do that again.
But that's something our filtered would catch then.
Are there any existing out there?
No.
Not at all.
That was a very limited, and I'm in a very difficult position because John Cullen was my boss. And I think very highly of John, but I've been very critical of that policy that he put in place as a county administrator. And we have a lot of department heads that I've worked with over years that this may impact. So, but there is nothing like that, and there never will be again.
Okay. Debbie?
So I had the opportunity to attend the Cal CPA update on government accounting standards. It was very interesting as well. Vicki was there, and John was there. That was last week. I would also like to reiterate my request, and I'm not sure how I move this along, but I've been asking for at least several months now since we reviewed the funding policy to bring, and we even talked about this in the meeting, bringing back to our board the issue of the contribution, the member contribution rate calculation with respect to it not including the termination pay. We established at that meeting that there's really two components to it. There's the component that's under consideration under AB 197, which we really probably should wait until something happens there, but there's another component to there that is not being included that has to do with the amounts earned in the last 1 year. So
can be a little more specific.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not following you.
The amounts, the termination pay earned that a person gets when they retire that is earned within the last year.
What termination pay? I thought we're doing away with that.
Well, no, there's, I mean,
you took an all terminal pay?
Whatever.
What's
you're
allowed?
Still going to be allowed to take what's earned in the last year, even after AB 197 is resolved, regardless of how that's resolved. And I'll defer to Harvey.
When we talk about termination pay, we tend to focus on the amount of money that you get outside the final compensation period that you're using to calculate your benefits and the additional amount that's added in, and that's what AB 197 and Judge Flynn has done away with. But when Siegel, as actuaries, used the phrase terminal pay, they included that, and they also included the amount that is permissible in the final year's cash at a year's worth of vacation and other leave that is earned and payable in that period, and that will continue to be compensable, part of final compensation. What we learned
some months ago, February,
is that when Siegel calculates the member contribution rate, the employer and the member's contribution rate, the normal cost, they exclude all that termination pay from the calculation of the member rate, and it all gets put into the employer rate,
right,
even though it's part of the same final compensation that they project benefits on in the cost of the system. They've done that in a few systems of their clients, not all.
We're one of two systems left that still
Orange County discovered this a couple months ago, talked to Siegel about it. They share Siegel in common. Orange County voted last month to stop that practice and require all amounts that are projected to be part of final compensation to be part of the members' contribution rate as well, not excluding anything.
I need to make sure I clearly understand you. If I'm getting ready to retire in that year, on my final check, the money is withheld. You're saying is that from an actuarial perspective, they need to calculate that in so that even though I may pay on $1,000 that I got, that exponentially I'm getting more in my benefit as I retire. So sooner I need to be paying more towards what that will be. Is
let
that
me give you any, let's use an example. Member makes a base salary of $80,000. In their final year of work, they earn a base salary of $80,000, and they cash out during that year accrued vacation worth another $10,000. When Siegel calculates what the potential benefit will be they used the full $90,000. Is that what I, yeah, the 80 plus 10. They project that the final compensation of this member will be $90,000. And that's what they then work into the system in terms of how much in contributions has to support that projected benefit. When they calculate the members' portion, the members' contribution, they use 80, not 90. So that the member is not paying for the same level of benefits that they're assuming will be the final compensation to that member.
But the member thinks they are.
That difference is paid entirely by the employer in the employer's basic contribution rate. No portion of it is paid in the member's contribution rate.
Well, then I agree with Deborah.
The 37 Act sets the formula for what members' contributions are supposed to be. And it says it shall be to provide an annuity. It's a formula based on, quote, final compensation, the same final compensation that's is defined as what the projected what the projected benefit will be. So that's the difference.
Is it anything to do with they may or may not do that at the end of the career? I was curious. In other words, you're anticipating they're going to sell that.
No, it's all in, you know, the contribution rates are all based on projections.
Okay.
And then they're adjusted depending if projections change, and that's where we get gains and losses.
Who would this affect? I mean, I know would it be like a certain level of management that does this now?
It's mostly anybody who has the right to cash out during service.
So there could be, like I know our agency doesn't do it, except maybe the kind of level above. So there are certain...
Right.
You're talking about vacation.
That person cashes out that $10,000,
what else is it?
I mean, that's holiday.
Does that person not pay?
Yeah.
Yes, they pay a contract.
They pay the retirement amount on that.
So in that last year, if a member gets $10,000 worth of cash out, they pay their contribution rate on that $10,000, but that doesn't support the benefit
for the whole time. But it does take care
for the rest of their retirement.
It's a one-time contribution.
It's not holiday pay, though. It's only vacation settlement.
No, it's everything that Siegel calls terminal pay.
All the different.
All the things beyond the base salary, essentially. It's all the add-ons in the final year.
But if I work a
could
holiday,
be leave, holiday, comp time, sick leave, all those cash outs that get it included, as well as the ones that Judge Flynn has now said we can no longer include, that's all in the bucket that Siegel calls terminal pay.
Because I know if I work a holiday, I pay a contribution towards it.
Right, but what they're saying is...
It's not in the actuarial calculation.
You haven't paid
the cost.
But for it when I do it, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
You're only paying for that check that you're getting. But what they're saying is, from an actuarial point of view, you should have been paying... If you're getting $90,000, you paid whatever the 50% normal cost on the 10 grand, but you haven't paid the cost of what that extra 10 grand cost to the system all along.
It's being paid.
You know what?
But it's being paid entirely by the employer, not by part by the employer, part by the employer.
It doesn't make sense. If I work a holiday, I pay more.
I know you
do. I'm paying for this benefit.
But as we all know, we saw from that last gentleman that we talked to weeks ago, he made $136 extra a month, so he paid on that, but he was going to get $94 a month for the rest of his retirement. That hadn't really been funded. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Gabe, if you're, say for example, if your contribution was 16% of pay,
right?
So on that holiday thing, you'd pay 16%. This would, you're being subsidized by 1%.
Okay.
The shift is saying you got to take like 1%. You should be paying 17% of pay on that thing instead of 16% of pay. That's really the difference.
Okay.
So the employer is paying an extra percent that isn't being paid by the member. That's all it is.
So this issue it's been brought up twice. We discussed this when we reviewed the actuarial funding policy, I believe,
It is also in a footnote in every valuation report on the page that, you know, if you read the fine print, it's there. Siegel's aware of it, and we are only one of two systems left that haven't corrected the calculation.
Becerra and Ventura are the only systems left to do
right. And so all I'm asking is that we establish a date to bring Siegel back and address this issue.
Yeah. I got no problem with that. But before we do it, I mean, I have no problem with bringing it up, but when it is brought up, I need it, as I say 100% of the time, I need a dollar figure in front of me to know how much. And that's all I need. And it's not that I'm pro or con, it's just I need that dollar figure to help me make my decision. So when we bring it up, please do the dollar figure.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Two things. One's a question to Harvey. Did OSERS have a staff report in connection with their consideration of this item? Do you remember?
They had a presentation by Siegel. A slide or a presentation.
Do they post their stuff online?
Yes.
Okay.
It's public and it's available. You can see it online.
Great. That
it was. So what month is this? May.
I comp at the
February.
It would have been at the March OSERS meeting.
Okay, that's helpful. Yeah, I'll track it down.
Thank you.
And then my second comment was, I'm envious that you got to go to Wharton because I was scheduled to go and didn't go, and I'm glad you went. I would encourage you to go back to Philadelphia in August, however. Make a residency decision about. You can't keep a pleat in a shirt and nothing.
It was awesome. I went running, I think, three of the nights, and the weather was like 70 degrees, absolutely perfect.
May is the best time of year.
Constitution Hall for about 12 hours a day for a week.
That's great. I'm glad
during the summer.
Kind of getting off.
I got trustee comment.
Can we have one more thing? In fairness,
before 197.
Yeah. We have a sidebar going on here.
But right. That's what they're saying. Anything like the uniform.
could we? I'm sorry.
Order. Just so that Deborah doesn't have to bring this up again at the next meeting, can we direct staff, basically, to, at the soonest possible date, have a presentation?
I'm sorry, I thought we effectively had done that, or
well,
have we
just,
done that directly?
Yeah. That's three times now.
It hasn't effectively been done the past two times, so I guess I'd like to see something more definitive as to when they can come and discuss this.
Okay, Kurt, thank you. Okay, Jerry?
My trustees' comments. I went to Oceans. I wasn't here at the last board meeting, so I wasn't able to report. I was impressed. I like them. They run a bare-bones operation, by the way. That was probably, in terms of an office setting, that was probably the most bare-bones office setting I've gone into.
Have you been to Emerald?
Yeah. I was like, okay. But they do a good job, and I was impressed, and I'm glad we're going with them, and I think they're going to make us money. The EIF conference. I went to the EIF conference, as did Rusty. We were both there, and we went to the first meeting. And if anybody goes to EIF, I recommend that you do this. It's called the advisory board meeting, and I didn't know whether or not we should be or shouldn't be in there, so I went in there, and I asked the attorney if we could be there, and the attorney said yes. But I also understand that we're not on the advisory board. So I called Tim to find out what do we need to do to get on the advisory board. And Tim said, it's not such a good idea. Harvey has looked into it. And the thing is, if we become a member of the advisory board, then we subject ourselves to their suits or anything that happens in a negative way. And so it's better to be an observer because we're limited partners, we have the authority to observe. We can go in and observe. So whenever you go to an EIF, go to those advisory board meetings. That is where you'll get the most information about what is going on with the funds and what they're doing with those funds. When they do the general meeting the next day, they just kind of gloss over what each fund is doing, and they give you like the final numbers. When you sit in the advisory board meetings, you get the nuts and bolts of what's going on, and so I was really impressed with the advisory board meetings. And so then after the advisory board meetings, they had a co-funders meeting, at one of the funds, and it was co-funders. And I thought, well, I don't know if I'm a co-funder. I mean, we're investing all their funds. So I show up at the co-funders meeting for their last, I think their last fund, and we're not a co-funder. We're a limited partner, but we're not a co. So I got kicked out, which was really fun because it developed a relationship between me and one of the partners, and we had a great time with it the rest of the time I was there. But in any event, it is really important to go to that advisory meeting if you ever go to EIF, and EIF is a wonderful event to go to because they're really good about how they do things and what they do. Okay, at the Sackers, the thing that scared me at Sackers, I came out with the scuttlebutt that in Ventura County there is an initiative that is going to be put between the before the voters to ask for a 401k and to get rid of the defined benefit program for their county.
It's just one supervisor who's moving it.
No,
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, but
The initiative is going to probably be on the ballot. At least my understanding of it was that it was going to be on the ballot. Maybe somebody's got more accurate information. But if it gets on the ballot, and the scuttlebutt is this is the plan. This is the plan. Get it on one ballot, do one county at a time, pick them off, and there'll be no defined benefit plan in 15 years for any of the counties. I'm worried about this initiative. I'm worried about this happening in Ventura, and people need to pay attention to it.
The head of the Taxpayers Association came to the Board of Supervisors about 4 or 5 meetings ago and mentioned this under public comment and asked for our support, and we thanked him for his comment.
Yeah, so what you're saying is our supervisors are realizing that it's not an initiative to support.
We didn't give any further direction to county staff.
Okay. So anyway, that was like, oh my God, an eye awakener.
It's similar to the Chuck Reed plan to say.
Yeah, it is. It probably is. The last thing I want to comment is the same thing that you commented on, Will. I wasn't at the same meeting that you were. You were there, and I was at EIF. You were at Wharton, and I was at EIF. And I'm concerned, and we did all the conversations, and we all talked about it, so I don't want to break it up. But I'm concerned the examples that were used, I was concerned with the examples that were used because I didn't see at least one of them I didn't see as really excessive we all are going to have our own ways of evaluating it and labeling it, but I didn't see it was an AASME secretary is example, and I think the final pay, I don't know what the final pay was, under $40,000 or $50,000.
Jerry, go back and listen to the record. You'll see that we all agreed that it didn't meet, that it was
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
So it came up because of the filter, but all of us said,
this is not one that you would,
no.
Okay.
And
okay.
The gentleman too.
I feel more comfortable about that.
Go listen to the record.
Unfortunately, you can't listen to the record until after the minutes have been scribed and put before the board and approved, which is another issue I've brought up. I'd really like to see the record posted immediately.
They are what they are. We're not going to change
them. Okay, anyway, so that, and I have no problems with doing what we're doing, but again, I want to, it's those people that truly spiked the system and rigged it that I want to see brought before the board, and that's where I'm at. And I have also gotten some concerns after the article from Bornstein went out. I've gotten some retirees that have called me, and again, I have reiterated this is excesses, but the comment, Karen, not the comment that you made is probably very true. Those when you say if you're making more now. Making more than when you went out the door than you probably would be. Well, I'm doing that now. I'm making, but I've been retired for 15 years. It took me 10 years.
Jerry, really clearly, you retired June 30th, you made X. On July 1,
you made
more. I'm not talking about people who are 10 or 15 years down the road with a cola. And it gets really frustrating, and I'm not angry at you, but
I
we should have smarter people than this. Excuse me.
Okay, then that's because we're doing this right now, and it's being, people now have that, they know. And
it should be pretty clear. If you're not making more the day after you walk out the door, it's not 10 years later, the day you walk out the door.
I'm glad it's clarified. Thank you.
To staff's credit, the audio is available from the last meeting on the website. So.
Oh, so we've changed.
So
that,
the audio. Yeah. Okay. Go back.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Scott.
I'm not saying another word.
I can't make that promise. I'm going backwards. I know we don't want to go backwards. One
on doubles now.
One last thought on Deborah's request. I would like to see the agenda item discussing this terminal pay discussion item read, consider, and take possible action.
Right.
So that at that time, it's not just another educational presentation. That we actually have the ability to take some action on that item at the time. Otherwise, it's going to be postponed for yet another month or two.
Well, we've already had the educational presentation. This was all explained.
Just put consider possible action on.
That's fine.
Look at the Board of Supervisors agenda. You'll see all of our action items are listed that way.
No, I understand. I'm just concerned, Karen, that this one might not be inadvertently, and it would just simply come off as another educational item. Then we couldn't take action.
Okay. Staff has heard you. I had a few comments from Sackers. I attempted to capture all of us who've been there. I think there's probably almost everybody. You recognize you have general sessions and then you have selective discretionary sessions. So any one of us is going to pick up bits and pieces that may not be exactly the same as others because you have different discretionary sessions. What I try and do is capture items that I think would be of interest to our board as a whole that come out of these, and obviously these are speakers commenting. The average discount assumption is now 7.7, down from 8 several years ago. We'll continue to see more pressure to look at adopt DC plans for governmental employees. I'll be broadly to Jerry's point a minute ago. As more employees go from DB to DC plans, I think everyone here probably reasonably recognizes that far more retirement risk now goes to the employee. That is the nature, among other natures, of a defined benefit plan. The investment risk is borne by the employer. The investment risk becomes borne by the employee in the DC plan. There will continue to be pressure to reduce the discount assumption further. One of our general speakers talked about, and I thought it was an interesting presentation, the game of markets. Was to determine what all the others think all the others will do.
Yeah.
To think about that for a while.
Everybody's looking at everybody else.
Everybody's looking at everyone else, or what are they going to do, and then guessing that.
Japanese bonds.
Yeah.
Inflation is coming. Be proactive. The majority of new energy coming online today is renewable. Hydro being the great majority, wind, solar, and bio being the other sources. Then the next step was the growth of wind, solar, and bio is due to tax credits. None would meet a marketplace test without tax credits. There's a high probability of California being hit by an El Nino winter in 2014 with much greater rainfall. I mean, this has been, a lot of this has been in the newspapers too, but we had one speaker spend some time on that. And it's not clear that climate change is having any impact on the California drought. Anyway,
I see that again.
It is. This was a meteorologist saying this as part of a panel on climate change. It is not clear that climate change, is having any impact on the California drought.
I would disagree with him. The rim fire. I mean, just so you all know. Trees take up a lot of water, and so when there's not management of the forest to cut them down, and then you have climate change that causes a forest fire, and now all this devastation. Anyway, he's a scientist. I'm not, but
well, he based it on the fact that historically there were other periods worse than ones we're now.
Well, that was like 200 years ago, though, yeah, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Some was. That's why we should have PG to cut down the trees.
But they're cyclists.
Don't get that one started.
A couple other thoughts on Sackers. I'm sorry I keep coming up with these thoughts. That guy who was talking about, basically it was a 45-minute presentation that boiled down to be careful when you follow the crowd. So I thought,
yes.
I hoped he volunteered his time for that presentation because that's basically what it boiled down to. One of the other speakers was the editor of the publication whose name escapes me now. What's it?
Amy Brown.
Yeah.
Amy.
She was far more of an advocate. I'm not surprised, but far more of an advocate. I guess I was surprised at the degree of her advocacy for DB plans. I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying she was had a kind of a take-no-prisoners attitude about it, which is you can feel a little bit of it coming through the publication, but in person, there's no question.
Along that line, and others who've been involved in this longer, but it was brought to my attention, and Harvey dealing with this legislation, is in other states, the employee does share with the employer in the unfunded liability. And that what one person mentioned to me was true AB 197 reform or PEPRA reform would have included that major change such that not just one or the other, but that it's an equal share of gains and losses. And I'm hoping long before we're all gone or shortly, you know, that we will move to that. That might be something, but then there are stronger powers that be perhaps that precluded that. But that seems to me the better way to address things going forward. Somebody else can take that to Sacramento.
Trustee comments.
Motion to adjourn.
If not, move to be adjourned.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Do you know that
speak with your feet.
You don't need a motion to adjourn.
You don't.